changing. We're flying high, creating a complaint-free world. No more, no more complaining people. Their lives are changing. We're flying high, creating a complaint-free world. No more, no more.
Today we're going to talk about what is called the repetition compulsion. Now, break it down. Repetition. Repeat. 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 Okay, just think about that. Repeat. I will be careful up here. Thank you, Kathy. The repetition compulsion. It means to repeat. Now, think of a compulsion. A compulsion is something that you really, really have very little control over. It's not to say you have no control over it, all right? We have more control over many things in our lives than we ever give ourselves credit for. But we all have control to some extent over the compulsions. But a compulsion is something that drives you. I was thinking this morning, what's the difference between an obsession and a compulsion? And the way it came to me is like an obsession is I gotta. An obsession is I gotta. Whereas a compulsion is, I gotta and I can't stop. Or I gotta and it's pushing me so big that it seems huge. So, repetition, repeat, compulsion, can't control it. What am I talking about? The repetition compulsion, you probably have already experienced. I know that I have. I remember when I first experienced it. Let me tell you. When my daughter was born, Leah, I made a commitment that I was going to be a very, very different person. I made a commitment that I was not going to be like my father, that nothing was going to get me to raise my voice, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Now, my daughter, well, I'll tell you that part in a minute. Anyway, one day, we went to the Russell Stover's factory outlet store. I don't know if they have those in the South, right? I think they intentionally screw up the candy sometimes so they can sell it because they sell more through the factory outlet, make more. But anyway, we went there and we got some candy for us, my wife and I did. And then we got my daughter a little Barbie candy arrangement. We told her she could have a piece a day. Well, we were all outside. And she was maybe four. And we had a glass door that I had installed. I had refinished this glass door, this beautiful old door we had found, and I had installed it. So she goes inside. Now, it's a beautiful, warm summer South Carolina day or fall South Carolina day. She goes inside, and she locks the door at 4 years old, and she stands there eating the Barbie candy piece by piece, looking at me and her mother like, what are you going to do about it? And in that moment, my commitment to not be like my father was no commitment. I open this door. Open it now. You will open this door. I mean, just this, what I call rage face, right? Now, my wife was very calm at the time, and what she did was she walked away, not because I was yelling, open the door, but because she knew that I was distracting Leah. And so she went all the way around the house and climbed in a back window. So as Leah didn't even realize her mom was going, as I'm yelling, Leah's just eating piece of candy after piece of candy, looking at me like, you can yell all you want, but you can't do anything through the door. And as she's doing this, I'm watching her mother walk slowly up behind her. And she snatches her up. We threw the candy away and put her in her room. I mean, because it was just like, what else are you going to do? So here's the thing. Repetition compulsion. It is that horrible experience when we hear our mother or our father's voice come out of our mouths. When we look back at how we've handled a situation and we go, damn, I didn't do that, handle that much better than my dad or my mom. And in fact, I was very much like them. So, I'm going to talk to you today about breaking that repetition compulsion. Because what happens is, in most cases, people either ignore it, they say that it's not true, they're not like that, or they just say, well, I can't do anything about it. It's how I was born, it's how I was raised, etc., etc., etc. So, if you haven't yet, at some point, you're probably going to open your mouth and your mother or father's voice and or attitude is going to come out, or you're going to handle things in a way that would be like the negative ways they would handle it, and it's going to be pretty upsetting for you. So, here's how to handle it. By the way, before I did this morning, you know what I was doing? Journaling. I was doing exactly what I was telling you. I was picking up a piece of paper and a pen. I have actually been in hotel rooms and forgotten my journal. And you know those little pads they give you that are about this big to make notes for the phone? I'll fill up both sides of that and the little cardboard thing. So write down, okay? All right? Specifically, write down the behavior that you have noticed yourself doing that is similar to the parent that is something you don't want to do, okay? Make a note of the behavior. What is it that you're doing, okay? Number one, make a note of it. Number two, own it as your behavior. Oh, really? Yep. Own it as your behavior. This may be a compulsion. This may be something that happens without you thinking. It may be totally reactive, but you've got to make plans in the future so that when something happens that would normally trigger you, you already know how you're going to react differently. Because remember, it's a compulsion. It's a default. It's where you're going to go. You're going to be like one of your parents, typically, when you're driven, scared, upset. So what you want to do is you want to, number one, own it as your behavior. Number two, write it out. Number two, own it as your own behavior. Stop blaming it, well, my dad was this way. Okay, well, your dad was that way or your mom was that way, but they didn't change. You can change. See, that's part of the curse of watching my jump starts. You start to feel empowered and then you go, man, all of this is, I control everything. And then you start to go, oh man, look at my life. I've controlled everything such this far. But then when you realize you do control everything, you make conscious choices. So first and foremost, recognize the behavior. Second of all, notice it as your own. Acknowledge it as your own. The third thing is, write out how you can act differently. When a similar stressful situation comes to you, are you going to get up and go for a walk? Are you going to take a breath? Are you going to whatever it is? Because here's the thing. My therapist always says, couples can do all the work they want to do, but they're still going to hurt each other. They're still going to trigger each other. It's just the truth of it. People still trigger one another, so you're going to be triggered. Life is going to trigger you. And then what you do, and this is, by the way, I know most of you are like, yeah, this is a good idea. And also, 99% of you won't do it. I'm talking to the one of you who will actually sit down and do this, okay? Please do this. Write it out. And the last thing is, you have to rehearse it. You have to close your mind. If you're lying in bed at night, that's the best time to do it. Think about a similar situation coming up and seeing yourself handling it in a very different way. One of the things that I used to like to do was to actually put myself into a situation and then imagine I'm pressing pause, like I'm watching a stressful situation I've gone through, and then I'm pressing pause and everybody freezes, right? And then I step out of my body and Mr. Rogers steps into my body and he takes over. So how would Mr. Rogers take care of this situation? What would Mr. Rogers do? What would Jesus do? What would anyone who didn't have the parents you have do in this situation, and then you practice it. And then the next time it happens, you're still going to feel compulsed to do it. Compulsed. Not like, hey, I think this is a good idea. You're just going to feel like, wow, like a reaction. And if you begin to continue to work on it, then if it happens again, what you do is you go back and go, you diagnose it. How could I have handled that differently? But one of the things you don't do, and this is the hard part, listen to me. If you're multitasking, come back to me right now. You're not mean to yourself for having done it. You didn't choose to be this way. You didn't choose to be this way. It was modeled for you. It was impressed energetically into your soul and into your being. And it can end with you. No matter what age you are, it's never too late to be a good parent or a better parent or a great grandparent. And it's never too late to change who you are in the world. And when you change who you are in the world around you cannot help but change. You get that, right? When you change who you are, the world around you changes. Now listen, repetition, compulsion, you have it. Chances are you do. Those negative aspects of your mom, your dad, or both, they come out and you go, oh, damn, I'm stuck. You're not stuck. You can get out. And that's the path. Number one, recognize it. Number two, acknowledge it as your own behavior. Number three, write it out. Write out how you can act differently in the situation and then practice it. Let me show you one more thing before we say TTFN. Ta-ta for now. When I moved down here, I spent the first 3 months every weekend, every Sunday, because I was working 6 days a week, and I would spend Sundays working on myself. And here's our pool, if I can show it to you. There we go. And I would sit down there every Sunday. And I'd write out every negative reaction that I did, even if it wasn't expressed. Negative thoughts or feelings that I had during that previous week. And if I had any sort of an irritation or altercation with a person, never really a big altercation, but, you know, like irritability with a clerk or something like that, I'd write it out. Then I'd write out, how would I like to be different in that situation? And then I would close my eyes and I would practice it. And eventually it gets to where it becomes a habit. But if you want to change, it literally takes that much effort. And that's why most people don't. They go through their life pointing at everybody else. It ain't me, it's you. You know what? You didn't choose the cards. They were dealt to you. But how you play the game is 100% up to you. Play to win. And the only way to win is to feel good. Like you've broken that repetition compulsion. And you've changed who you are. And I know you can. All right. Because I said I know you can, now's the time for everybody to click share. I know Jerome is going to be probably the first one to click share. We had 5 people share yesterday, or 4. Thank you so much for those of you who share. That's why we continue to build this online community of Jumpstarters. Any comments or anything you want to say, now's your chance. One last view. Looks like we're going to get a little rain here in just a minute. You can see that cloud headed this way. Again, if you weren't with me earlier, I'm up on my roof. That's John Pennekamp State Park, which goes all the way out 40 miles into the ocean and includes all the coral reefs. One of the coolest things here, when you come here, I don't know if we can make it happen, but if you're a diver, there is a submersed statue of Jesus that is 8 feet down and his arms are up. Look it up. And his arms are just about 2 feet from the surface. So it's out on a coral reef. It's in honor of a family whose son died. Anyway, it's pretty amazing. What's interesting is that the statue of Jesus is covered 100% in fire coral. So if you touch it, it will sting you. So you have to stay away. Oh, look at the share, share, share. Meemaw, first one to share. And Kathy Cruz says, shared, my bonus daughter loves these. I love the term bonus daughter. I want to tell you all a funny story, and then I'm going to say goodbye. I have got to dive that. Well, good. Come on down, Kathy. Let's do it. I have some good friends that run the number one patty dive shop in the world here. My mom was wonderful, and my dad was killed in Vietnam. I just want to live up to them. There you go, Linda. Beautiful. Awesome. Everybody send Linda a little love for that. I got an email 2 days ago from a woman in Germany. She's a writer, a contributing writer for Psychology Today in Germany. You ready for this? She said to her 79-year-old mother, if you could spend a week, if you were on a deserted island, who would you choose to be on a deserted island with? And you know what her mother said?
Me.
And this woman, the writer, had never heard of me before. And she asked her mom, so who would you like to be marooned on a deserted island with? And she said, Will Bowen. And then this woman goes, who the heck is Will Bowen? And she starts looking me up. Anyway, I just thought that was super funny. So I'm going to be doing an interview for Psychology Today next week. Everybody click share. Look around. All right? Hold this vision wherever you are. You're going to be down here with me before you know it. Looking forward to it. Enjoy today, and I'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
No more, no more complaining people. Their lives are changing. We're flying high, creating a complaint-free world. No more, no more complaining people. Their lives are changing. Flying high, creating a complaint-free